Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three already. All right, let's head down south to Baffin Bay and let's check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz, see what she's up to. Good morning, Rihanna. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey. No,
hey.
Not much. Just put the boat in the water and it's tied up and she's waiting on me.
Well,
waiting to go out and see what Baffin Bay has to offer today. It's it's been a hell of a week. I don't know if y'all
caught
been
some beautiful fish this week.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been on them. Bite's been pretty steady all morning, and it's funny because it's only like the first 3 hours, and about maybe 10:30, 10:45, it just dies. It's done. And so, and I'll tell you, when they're eating, it's on. You better have your lure in the water, and you better be at the right place at the right time, and any place where there's bait is the right place, because that's
right.
Where they're going to be at. It hasn't been too bad. It's been bearable, mostly windward shorelines. They're a little awkward to fish, but golly, wind is pushing up all kinds of bait up to the shoreline in the morning. Water temperature's nice. You know, you can just feel it. Sometimes you'll walk through little patches where you feel almost like a 3 to 5 degree difference in the water temperature, which is really nice, of course, in the mornings. But by 10:45, 10:30, it's already heating up pretty good. And of course, this little low pressure, man, I don't know if y'all are experiencing a lot of rainfall up there, but we've been getting some very nice scattered showers here in Baffin, on Baffin, around Baffin, at my house. I've been doing yard work so much this week. Weed eating, tree
trimming.
I did
that yesterday, man, in the heat of the day like an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
I had to get it done so I could watch the Astros blow it last night.
How'd they do? Did they lose?
Yeah, it was 12-3 or something like that. I mean, it was not pretty.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Yeah, that's pretty rough. But this rainfall, it sure is nice. And we had several little storms pass over us yesterday. It called for about 45% chance of rain, but it rained pretty good, which it's really nice for Baffin as we get these little steady showers. You know, it's not a not dumping a whole bunch of water all at once. It's just little steady showers here and there.
Little cool downs.
You can feel that low pressure when you're out there. You feel that 5 to 8 degree drop right before they come up, and it's so nice. But these trout, you know, I've been throwing that down south supermodel. That's been the profile that they've been wanting. I've thrown Little John XLs, Little Johns. The Big Smooth I threw earlier this week, they didn't really quite want it. I think it was just a little bit too big. You know, this time of year, they're not eating real big profiles, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah, everybody's downsizing right now, it seems like.
Yes, yeah, it seems like that's not quite the size that they're craving. So that supermodel, that's been my confidence lure there. It's been my confidence lure for the past 3 months, really.
Right.
But when I get to something and it starts working, I stick to it for a while. But the day before yesterday, I decided to switch over to that Big Smooth, just because I was noticing in the area that we were fishing, there was a little bit of bigger horse mullet, you know. Back there, it's mullet driven, and you could see those bigger schools of mullet, and they were jumping around pretty frantically, and we got on a really good trout bite. I switched over to that Big Smooth, and they wanted it. They were thumping the heck out of it. And Big Papa Pearl, that's one of the other colors that's been working really well, because we've got a lot of mullet. I mean, further out towards the mouth, there's a lot of finger size mullet.
Right.
You'll see a lot of shrimp. You'll see a lot of pin perch. And sometimes later in the day, when you're out there and you're fishing those deeper potholes, and usually I'll downsize, and you let it fall in through that grass, and you can feel that little perch pecking at your lure, and we're pulling a couple of those little pin perch out of those potholes. So the bait is. It's absolutely thick. I mean, and most of these trout that we're catching are pretty hefty. Not only that, the males that we're catching in between, usually if we get on a couple of males, and they're pretty feisty. They're pretty big. Most of these, yesterday I caught a male that was about maybe 19 inches. And
you need those bigger males to service those big females.
And that's what they're doing, man. And you get in on some of those males, and sure enough, boom, there's a female mixed in there with them. I guess they're still up here fertilizing these eggs. I thought, man, it's got to be getting way too hot and late in the season, but I guess they're still doing
still
it.
We still got a ton of trout full of eggs up my way. Lots of
wow.
You know, we had a really good spawn in June. But
yep.
There's still more. We'll have another one in July. You know, they all don't go off at one time. They're like bass. I mean, they just, when the opportunity's right and water salinity is perfect, that's when they do it.
Right.
You know?
And that makes sense, because I tell you what, bassin is, the salinity doesn't seem as high as it was several years back, or even, you know, last year we had a lot of rainfall too, starting in early summer. About around this time, we had a lot of rain, but this year there's a lot of grass. There's the water clarity just looks really, really pretty. It doesn't have that real murky look to it. It's got more of a clear look, that really deep emerald green.
Right, good old trout
beautiful.
Green, man.
Big trout water. That's what it
yeah,
looks like. And
that's
so
it.
They've got everything they need. I feel like and hell, anywhere you go right now, it seems like the opportunity can be there, especially this time of the month. You know, I always get excited this time of the month, new moon, and trout bite gets real active. And, and like I said, it's, man, from 6:30 in the morning to about 9:30, 10 o'clock, that is the window. And I had some guys, you know, this week, they're like, man, you think the trout bite might pick up later this day? I'm like, you know what? It may not be till later in the day. But right now what I'm seeing, it's those, that first thing in the morning when you get out to your first spot, Usually right now we've been leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, once we get out there, it's about 6:30. Once we start waiting, 6:15, 6:20, and right about 9:30, 9:45, it starts to slow down, but they're slicking up. I mean, everywhere we've been, they're all slicking up, and these slicks are just, I mean, strong. You can just smell them. They're real potent. And not only that, Mickey, but when you're catching these trout, they're slicking as soon as you're fighting them. They're spitting up. You know, they're
throwing food up. You bet.
The majority of them this week have been doing that, spitting up. You know, I guess just a bunch of stuff that they've been eating. It's been golly. On Wednesday? I caught 11 trout, counted them, and this wasn't counting the dinks. This was counting the trout that were like over 4 pounds. I caught 11 of them. The 11th trout was that one that I posted with a cutter on that down south. I think it was a root beer hopper, but she was pushing seven, right at
shocking.
Seven, pushing
you
seven.
Throwing a root beer colored bait with gold glitter or something. Yeah, shocking.
That's been it. I know, I always say I'm so boring when it comes to lure colors.
Hey, man, we used to catch some of our biggest trout in the summertime on that, you know, back before we had all this wide variety of fancy baits. You know, I mean, we just had just straight, you know, like shad tails and shrimp tails. And that that root beer with a fire tail back in the day in, you know, July and August, whether you're fishing well pads or deeper reefs, I mean, I don't know how many big trout came off that bait. Big time.
Gosh. You know, I always wonder what they see through their eyes, how they perceive that color.
Brown shrimp, maybe? What I always guess, you know.
Maybe
looks
so.
Looks like a big brownie.
Yeah, or maybe just a little silhouette. You know, I figure early in the morning when there's a little bit of cloud cover, sun isn't, you know, it's not real sunny. We're not getting direct sunlight. Just a little silhouette in the morning seems like it's been producing very well. I've tried throwing brighter colors in the morning. I just feel like it's a little too much of a shock to them. Like it's just like, ooh, that's too much for me right now. You know, I want something just a little, like shadow right in their peripheral, and then that's enough to just make them strike on it. But 2 days ago, one of my guys threw a topwater, which I hadn't been throwing topwaters much. I don't favor topwaters. I encourage my guys to throw them. I tell my guys, you're confident.
Yeah, it depends on the customer. Some of them are just, you know, they're addicted to topwater, and that's all they're going to throw. Sooner or later, they're going to get a big one, too.
Yep, and it happened. It happened a couple days ago. I mean, she just crashed up on that topwater, and I was probably about 50 yards away, and we were just totally dissecting this beautiful shoreline, and he was up shallower close to that grass, and I told him, I said, most of the bites been up close to that grass line. Sure enough, he went over there and started just chunking right on the edge of that grass, and sure enough, she came up and just crashed on it. She was every bit at 6.5, 6.75. Beautiful trout, had a nice little cellulite, you know, right there in her belly area. But most of these strikes have been 100% committed. They're not, you know, real finicky about it
apprehensive. They decide they want it, they're going to jump on it.
That's one thing I love about, it seems like in this time of month, they commit to it. Round a full moon. Gosh, it's a weird little bite they barely grab it.
They're a lot more finicky, aren't they? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting how the bite and the trend changes throughout the month. That's why you can tell how excited I am this time of
I know
month.
You are. I know you got to be leaving here shortly, and I got to run too. So if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them a number where they can reach you, Rihanna.
Sure thing. It's 361-296-5400. I've got some days around a good moon phase available here in Baffin, so give me a call. Let's make a wade.
All right. Maybe it'll be a dirty 30 day today. You never know.
I hope so, Mickey.
All right. Good luck to you. I hope you get them.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rihanna.
Yes, sir.
See you. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's Rihanna Dela Cruz down in Baffin Bay. And I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. Easy to find. Pull in, check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. That's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their smoked sausage samples. They have those available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. See which blend you like the best, because they got plenty of them. And bulk pricing is available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage, along with homemade hot dogs, original or with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloin, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. And their chuck wagon patties, half-pound beef patties, seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese. And while you're there, check out their grab-and-go snacking products, like their beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks, and their wild game processing facility, the best there is. Check out their new sausage recipe. If you're going to have any processing done, you got to try it. It's really good. The Belleville, celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. 620 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Matagorda and see what's up with Captain Bink Grimes at Matagorda Sunrise Lodge. Hey, Bink, what's going on, buddy?
Man, going across East Bank, and I hope y'all can hear me all right.
Yeah. You got it on the step?
I got it on the step, baby. Easy.
Well, we are here. Well, you been doing any good?
Yeah, man, it's been all right. Yesterday was a little blah, but I mean, we still caught fish, but it just wasn't as good as Friday. Monday through Friday was, just a pretty stellar bite down here. It really was. I think yesterday, there were more boats yesterday than I've seen in a long time down here. It really was fun stupid yesterday. It really was. I mean, it was, and I think that had something to do with it, because we were in fish. We had a pretty good bite for about an hour yesterday, and then people started running all over everything. We let go over five or six fish over the 20 yesterday, throwing worms on the bottom. And,
right.
We had a decent bite, but after that, man, it was like, golly, me and Charlie's running for me, Glenn, all of them, Caldwell, all of them, and we had everything covered, and then we just started catching little fish, just lots of little fish after that. So, we're thinking it's going to be a little better today. There's not near as much traffic today, and not as many children just running over absolutely everything, and there's not as many. I mean, there was a floating yellow bucket on every daggone reef, every little strand. Man,
bucket brigade.
People who wave use plastics anymore, I can count them on the number of hands. That I mean, what happened? Golly. Man,
I don't know.
I'm telling you, there was a yellow bucket everywhere yesterday. I'm thinking, man, I don't know. I think they're getting about 13 bucks a dozen on this stuff now, too.
Yeah, they're over a dollar a piece, man, for croaks.
Oh, well. I don't know.
Three fish. Whatever. What do you got, the same corporate group out today as you had yesterday?
Yeah, man, we've been fishing these guys for 15 years. They just right. Solid. We know them all by name. They've been coming for many years. They're kind of like Santa. So we got them out. They hunt with us a bunch. So they're easy to fish. They've been doing it with us. We just stop the boat. They grab a rod and get after it,
Right.
Or that type of ball stuff. But yeah, so hopefully it might have been a little bit better today. It was really, really good Friday. Shoot, I think, of course, you only keep the three fish, but we were done pretty damn early Friday and then ran some storms a little bit. But
mm-hmm.
a lot better fish is showing up too. I tell you, we got a lot of lot of little bitty sand trout in the bay. And when that happens, man, those trout are shadow those things. That's what I was telling everybody yesterday. But, you know, when we got those little 9 or 10 inch sand trout, those big trout ain't going nowhere. I've seen them.
No.
I mean, those suckers, man, they're slicking on those things. And you're not seeing mullet jumping up and, you know, scurrying for their lives like normal. But when those sand trout come in here, they're just as good. And they, you know, they're oily and they slick up good. And, you know, I had you know, 9 and 10 inches eating a worm yesterday, and then there's a trout trying to eat it off your jig, you know.
Right.
So they're always, that's what's happened in the last 10 years, that it seems like those sandies are coming in, and man, those big trout are falling, and they're just shattering. So we didn't really have a whole lot of, we didn't get our sandies last year until about August or September, and it's different every year. One year we got them in May, and now they just showed up in June, so we're kind of happy about that. It makes a difference down here. So those big fish, and it just, I mean, there's been, you know, some 5 and 6 pounders caught down here, you know, pretty good number of them this week, and it's showing signs when those little sandies showing up, too. So.
You know, it's probably probably a little easier for those trout to catch a sand trout than it is a mullet.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah, yeah. You're right. I don't think they're near as athletic as a mullet.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's kind of like putting me in the back of in a backfield and say, "Hey, go score." You know, now I probably need to be tight end on the line or something.
What have y'all been getting most of your bites on? What are y'all mostly throwing right now?
Man, I caught him yesterday on that Little John tail, that Little John and the Little John in the gulp, that dragon tail.
Yeah, I saw where Gulp has a Little John knockoff now.
Yeah, they do. It looks about the same. It's got a little spoon shot. I caught him on that. I caught him on that bass and too.
Yeah.
It seems like those little sand trout like that little gulp in there.
Right.
You get more bites. Yeah, we ain't trying to catch them, but, you know, it's just, that's what it seemed like yesterday. And we got our bites out of the boat, you know, drifting with those gulp
drifting shell, yeah. 4 to 5 feet of water.
Uh-huh. Yep. Same old song and dance.
Man, nothing changes, does it?
One more time of year, man. I mean, nothing changes. It can't, because, I mean, this bay doesn't, you know, you can get this bay. I mean, it's 4 to 6 foot, the whole bay, you know.
So, yeah. Well, that's true.
And, you know, our shorelines just don't have we're not seeing the fish like we normally do, you know, just because we lost all that grass that used to go on that shoreline. You know, mother used to get up in there, and the trout used to shadow them, too, and same way with the ducks, we used to shoot a lot more ducks than each side of the bay because we had all that show grass and stuff. So we don't have it anymore. So a lot of those fish are out here in the middle.
You know, wonder what caused that grass to deteriorate like that.
Man, I don't know. That's the question. I do not know. You know, and maybe all those big fish were always out here in the middle back in the 2000s. You know, but we just weren't fishing them like that because we didn't have to. You know, we were.
Right.
Waters and stuff, but there's no doubt there's more big fish caught out here in the middle and on these mid bay reefs than anywhere in this bay.
Yeah.
You know, there it is. And when it gets calm like it's been, you know, it's just like, man, it's every reef is littered with somebody on it, especially on the weekends. It's hard to fish them on the weekends unless you. You know, with calm wind, unless you leave about 4 o'clock in the morning, and really don't want to do that. Really, I've got a lot of salt to leave early, but when you get, you know, these groups like this, corporate groups like this, some of them are not going to bed before 4 o'clock.
Yeah, imagine that. Lynn Smith and I were talking about that earlier. He gets a lot of guys that'll come down there in those company deals, and they'll stay up all night and then fish all day. They're just zombies. Yeah.
Zombies, I'll see how they do.
You know, I'm looking at the coastal winds, you know, on fish weather, you know, right along the beachfront, it's showing there's more wind, but as soon as you get just inside, the winds just lay down.
I know it. And that's, we're coming back. We kind of wanted to go to West Bay today to hit this big reef out right out in the middle that we hit Friday. And, man, this one's a 14 down there. And we took the safe bet. And,
yeah, I'm showing 14 to 16. Now, if you get way up above Palacios there by Karankawa and all that area, it's 5 miles an hour.
Yep, that's right.
Isn't that stupid?
It's a long way to go. Man, it's a long way to go. It's about a 20-mile run for us. It's a long way to go if and make a mistake because you're kind of stuck there, man. If you you get down there and it's blowing and going, that's a long way to come back these days. We got pretty water. We're in the south there right now. We're getting ready to make a deal.
Yeah, I'm showing in East Bay there, it's showing about a 9-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah, that's about what it's doing.
Right off the intercoastal there.
That's fine, man. We got sleepy water. And
a lot of showers in the Gulf today, too, you know, from that low pressure down there in the lower Gulf. But there's a lot of showers all over the Gulf, and they're kind of drifting towards the inland. So we'll see what afternoon, daytime heating has to do with that.
Well, we like that, too. I can see all that in the Gulf right now. We like it when it's low pressure. And we said that we're at the dock a while ago. We were all talking about where we were going to roll to, and we saw it with all those little pop-ups coming up. You know, they bite really good in East Bay. Pop-up showers on the Gulf, they just do.
Well, shallow water, low barometer. High barometer, deep water.
Yep, that's right. Exactly right.
So. Well, cool. Well, I'll let you get to your sports, man. Put them on a magic drift. Get some 28 inches on the first drift, man.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be sweet? Bink. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come down to Matagorda and hang out, lodge up, and fish up, how to get a hold of you, buddy?
979-241-1705 or MatagordaSunriseLodge.com.
All right. Well, good luck to you guys.
Yes, sir. We're going to get after them.
All right. Tell old Charlie to crack a smile this morning.
I did. I already made him laugh this morning.
All right. So. Good. All right, buddy.
See you,
Bink. All right. It's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 635 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Richland Chambers Reservoir, check in with our good friend Royce Simmons, see what he's up to this morning. Morning, Royce.
Good morning, Mick. How are you doing?
Oh, man, couldn't be better. How about you, brother?
Yeah, finished up a good week. It was kind of an opposite of what we'd been dealing with. We had absolutely 5-10 mile an hour, nice south winds, a little cloud cover, and
you
know, enough breeze to keep it from getting too hot until about fish cleaning time. And just the opposite of what we had for a week or two there with all the rains and storms and whatever. So we got every trip in for a change on a week that was a good week. Just good. Making us work a little bit for the fish, but at the end of the trip, we cleaned either limits or near limits of, we've been kind of doing combo trips. That white bass bite may be good one morning, maybe not consistently good several days in a row. And, we've been putting the punch bait in, and usually we're getting it out about midway through the trip and finishing off a box with blues and channel cats.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, kind of, I don't know, RC.
I'd rather have a good old channel cat anyway.
Exactly, and I don't tout it that way over the white bass because they're so much fun to catch and whatever, but right behind a crappie, I'll take a channel cat just any day of the week.
In a heartbeat.
The bite, I don't know, Mickey. I don't want to get down on our lake after fishing it for 25 years or whatever, but I think we've got a population issue that's not what it used to be, which, you know, the lake was kind of known for two things, white bass and catfish, and right now it's known for hybrid stripers.
Really? Y'all catch a lot of hybrids?
you know, we're not catching as many as the live bait guys. They don't have a lock on it. We're catching some out deep, suspended and whatever on a kind of a summertime pattern. It's not a early morning, you know, topwater bite like the whites have kind of been known to do. But they put so many of those hybrids in after the COVID experience where they didn't put hardly any in. They doubled and tripled the amount. And we just don't have that many people fishing for them. And I think our population is probably taking a hit just because those things are, those hybrids are eating machines. It's just, I heard the crappie fishing folks this spring talk about a little tougher bite. And our white bass bite the last couple of summers, we just hadn't had that big school of, you know, fish on the main lake, busting water for, you know, an hour or two of every morning. It's been more sporadic, I guess is the word I'd use.
Right.
But I don't know. Lakes go through cycles. You talk to a biologist, and they really, you know, they do their good work on their surveys and kind of give you a feel for what you know, species are more plentiful than others, and it shows to be, you know, pretty good shape. But boy, between a handful of guides that do this stuff, you know, 250 days a year or so, and have the graphs and the equipment to find those white bass, I don't know where they go when they don't show up. you ever hear that from other lakes around? I know lakes go through pattern changes.
Well, you know, the white bass bite's still been hot over in Livingston. You know, I've been seeing a lot of good catches out of Livingston.
Uh-huh.
I've got a lady I need to call and get hooked up with her and start getting some, you know, firsthand reports.
Get some reports.
You know, Harry sold Pinwa and retired and all that. And
okay.
And, I think she has that marina now, and I've got to find a place in the show I can work her in at least once a week and get updates from over there. But no, it's been pretty good. Richard, you know, the fish dude, he's been tearing them hybrids up. That hybrid bite for the last 3 weeks has been real good. And then he gets through pretty quick in the mornings and then jumps on them catfish on the way in, loads the boat with them, you know.
That's kind of the pattern that the guys that do the live bait, they get that, you know, unless something's really kind of out of the ordinary, they get that limit pretty quickly on the live bait. And then they're usually calling me saying, where can I go get some white bass? And I'm way up the creeks, 10, 12 miles up the creeks, fishing points, humps, roadbeds, in 10 to 15 foot of water. Is the pattern I've got on a summertime white bass bite. That it's been that way for several years, but usually it's an early morning schooling activity, and we just hadn't had any of that in the month of June. And I don't know whether to blame it again on a population issue, or we had some rain. I mean, we had spillway gates open, and we still had four gates open when I came home yesterday, letting water out because the Trinity just couldn't take any more for a while.
It's got me trashed out down here in my backyard, man.
Yeah, I imagine it was not flowing above pool or above full level when I came over yesterday, but it was still flowing pretty good. And we've got little lakes above us that feed the creeks 4 and 5 feet over their pool level, so we'll have gates open for another probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, so that's the way it's looking. Yeah.
Our water clarity is really good for all that rain that we had. Water temp is about norm for this time of the year, 83, 84. And, you know, I'm making it sound like it's a down day. I just wrote my fishing report from my email customers. And, I mean, we literally either limited or we fill the box with a combo of whites and catfish every day. We just get spoiled over the years to having it so easy. And and right now, you know, burning a little gas, having a look, and the people, as an example, the last 10 days we've had the Houston Fire Department there. They usually take about 2 weeks in June, and different groups of them come in over a couple of week period, and they camp and fish and recreate and all that for a period of time. And the ones that fish are saying, what's happening? You know, they just, where's that acre of fish I'm usually chasing out in front of the marina when they get up in the morning? And I said, I wish I knew, I'd tell you, but I can't tell you exactly where they went because I don't know. But
that's fishing. Strange. That is strange.
And I think I'm going to make it a point sometime over the next few weeks. It's going to slow down a little bit with the summertime coming on, to try to talk with some of the folks over at Parks and Wildlife Department, the biologists, because they're pretty neat guys. They come out and do their surveys sometime and try to answer your questions. But, you know, it's kind of egotistical to think on a 45,000-acre lake you're going to know where they're at all times. So, you know, maybe they know something we don't know that I could tap into, but
it'd be good to get some kind of info and just see. Yeah, I mean, you're out there all the time, you know. I mean, you fish it.
It's not totally unusual. Like last year, we had the striper guides from Whitney, which is, you know, a couple of hours to the west of us, that were coming over to RC. I mean, half a dozen boats every morning during the spring and summer, because the striper bite on Whitney just went south. It's back now from what they're telling me. We don't have the guides coming over, but it wasn't what it used to be. So I don't know. They had a kind of striper issue that, you know, kind of befuddled them over there. And they were coming over here catching all these hybrids because it was so easy with the amount that they stocked over the last few years. So,
yeah, y'all did get some pretty good stocking.
Yeah, we just as an example, what they usually target, if you got a 45,000-acre lake, they'll target about 450,000 fingerlings and maybe supplement it a little bit with some little fry, which, you know, you can put thousands of fry in a little 5-gallon bucket. But the most of them are fingerlings that take that year, 2 years, about a little over 2 years to get to an 18-inch minimum, but they totally, I think, stopped the first year of COVID. Then they put a minimal amount in, and then they put over a million fingerlings in over a two-year period, and just a lot of fish that are now grown up, and they've continued to put them in at a 350,000-400,000 fingerling rate per year, and our lake doesn't get the fishing pressure. On probably 4 out of the 5 weekdays last week, I maybe saw half a dozen boats.
My goodness. Boy,
in summer on a beautiful, you know, week with a light wind, and it really wasn't hot until midday, and you know, you're off the lake after cleaning fish midday. So I don't know. We just scratch our heads still to this day. I'm sure in the afternoons it gets a little more use with the recreational people and the jet skis and stuff. But in the mornings, it's just pretty quiet. And maybe part of it is just the average fisherman that didn't, you know, stay out there 4, 5, 6 days a week, just not getting that box of fish that they're used to. So maybe they're fishing other lakes. I don't know. It hadn't stopped them from going to the coast, huh?
Oh, no. No, we're hey, buddy, it's fishing season down here, man. And this is going to be the biggest week of the year, you know, for fishing, July 4th week, man. It just tournaments and everybody headed to the coast. Let's get it on.
Well, I tell you what, I think I fished last July 4th. I know we always fish Memorial Day because it's right in the middle of all that really best time of the year, April, May, and easy and whatever, and you can get off and leave it with the recreation folks around midday. But Adam and I made a decision this year. We're taking off Friday, Saturday. Just leave it with the recreational folks and the fishermen that want to get out. But It's the big holiday of the year for us too. Memorial Day is pretty big, but I think July 4th a little bigger. Still not too hot, you know, to camp, and it's a normal busy lake on a holiday weekend, unlike maybe some of the other regular Saturdays in the month of July and August and whatever. But it's been good. Been a good spring.
What have you been mostly throwing at these white bass? What are you still slabbing them or what?
Yeah, when we leave the marina in the morning, and you know, we got a good long south shoreline from Fisherman's Point all the way up that is subject to a little bit of top water. So, you know, we got some inline MEP spinners, something with a single treble hook, whatever. And we'll keep something like that on just in case we get a little of that top water started and whatever. But I'm not the patient fisherman I should be. If I don't see something going pretty quick, I head on up to work.
You're spoiled rotten, Royce, over all the years, man. You're just spoiled.
Yeah, and you know what? We kind of, and it's good that we do, we kind of spoil our customer, because if they don't get that action going pretty quick, they say, what's wrong, Royce?
So, yeah, what's up with these fish today? What do you think, Captain?
where are they at, Captain? Yeah, yeah, well, if I knew, I would take
what's
you
going
there.
On here? Well,
if we don't.
Man, I remember then when I was a kid, we used to catch a ton of big, you know, perch, bluegill, and stuff like that on them. And what was that other one called back in the, what was it called, a shyster?
A shyster, yeah.
Remember those?
Yep.
Yeah. We used to catch a lot of big old brim on those when I was a little kid.
If you get that top water going, it's hard to beat, but I just don't like to put those rattle traps and the two sets of treble hook tiny torpedoes on like I used to, because if you get, you know, a couple, three or four people in the boat slinging those around, and then you get a top water bite going, it can get a little dangerous. So we keep it simple. Those little MEP spinners and inline spinners, rooster tails and stuff like that, it's hard to beat. But if we don't see something going in that first hour of the morning on the main lake, on the shorelines or whatever, I've been going more up the Chambers arm of the lake, up above the 287 bridge. There's an island called Hickey Island that a south wind will push bait up on it. And then going on up a little farther, there's a second bridge up there that has some really neat humps and structural changes, 10, 15 feet that baits pushed up on them, and we're dropping slabs even in, you know, 15 foot of water, not much water to drop them in, and we'll sometimes put a little crappie jig 18 inches or so above that slab, and when you get in a good school of them, you get them two at a time. And
double rigging, yeah.
Yeah, kids think that's pretty cool. You know, even us adults who think like kids think it's pretty cool to catch two fish at a time.
We used to do that when our limits were liberal, but
yep.
You know, we'd work birds back in the day and used double rigs. And flipping them trout in two at a time, shake them off and leave them in the floor and sling back out and grab two more.
When those fish are on one of those really large scale topwater bites and stuff, over the years I've seen a lot of people use a trout rig out there with the big popping cork or something like that above it and a bait behind it. I think that's what you guys use for the trout.
Yeah,
but
they still use a lot of popping corks, you know, with a live shrimp under them, and you can you can actually just put a regular soft plastic tail under there and do just as good, especially with these new scented baits we have, like the Mirror Lure Little John and the Gulf.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
They work just as good as live bait, man.
Yeah. Well, the long trip isn't just for the whites, though. Those catfish are the exact same areas, maybe on a ridge or a hump that you're catching a white bass at 15 feet. You move out to about 18 or 20 feet, drop down some of that cheese punch bait, and you don't even have to chum the area this time of the year when they got that bait, you know, kind of pushed up on that, on those humps and structures. They're not big fish.
You brought that up. I just got a text came in. Ask Royce how he fishes with that punch bait. How does he do it?
I keep it real simple, whether it's a little barrel, quarter ounce barrel, or a clip-on weight, about 4 or 5 inches above it. I use a number 4 treble hook because it'll hold a little more cheese of punch bait, but a number 6 is plenty big enough. And And all I do is just drop it to the bottom. Most of the time, you're going to catch most of your fish on the bottom. But as the morning progresses, if you're staying on those catfish, you know, in 20 foot of water, it's not unusual to have suspended fish turn your graph on, and it looks like white bass coming through there at all different levels, because they'll move up and down that water column. But, you know, just a sinker above a treble hook, punched bait, and I'm not even having to chum the area as much. There's just so many catfish in lakes and areas that we're fishing.
Dang.
In the summertime. Not big, but plenty big enough to, you'll throw back a bunch of them, but plenty big enough to fillet. And, again, I like a nice crispy catfish fillet, so I don't mind a small fish.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, that fresh catfish, fried crispy, you can't hardly beat it. I guess you still holding the record on Channel Cat?
You know, somebody asked me about that earlier in the year, and I looked up on Parks and Wildlife, and yeah, I'm guessing somebody out there probably caught a bigger one, but it's still 12 something, whatever it was. But you know, it's not big for a Channel Cat. Some of these East Texas lakes have a 20-pound lake record, but you know. I took the time to take him over to the Parks and Wildlife at Athens, and they measured and whatever, and brought that thing back to the lake in a big old 64-quart ice chest and put it back in. So hopefully she made some more babies.
Well, maybe you'll catch her when she's 20 pounds.
It's not unusual.
It's just hard to believe how prolific catfish are. I mean, you can't wipe them out.
It is unreal. We'll, like I say, catch a lot of throwbacks, but we'll catch fish, you know, from 6 inches long to 18, 20 inches long. And then when it hits fall, I mean, you catch some really nicer, some blues mixed in with these channels of bigger fish in the fall and the winter than the summertime bite.
Right.
But it's, you know, I don't want to jinx this. I don't want to say, oh, that lake will never run out of catfish, because I said that, I think, at one time about whites, and now I'm saying, well, maybe our population is a little less, but it has got a ton of catfish, like most East Texas lakes do. They're just good catfish lakes.
That's fun.
It's been a bit of fun week, mostly probably kids this week. Have you ever fished with a lady named Hazel? I've not known any Hazels, but Hazel, who is 5 years old, came and fished with her pawpaw with me, and her older sister Emily, who was 16. Hazel's 5 years old, and when Hazel got out of the pawpaw's truck, she started talking, and 5 hours later, she was still talking, and she had brought her little pink 2-foot rod, and toward the end of the trip, we were catching catfish, and Hazel had that little 2-foot pink rod, and I swear, Mickey, the catfish were biting so ferociously they didn't hardly need much on that treble hook, and Hazel must have caught 10 fish in a row just dropping down by accident. And she was talking trash at 5 years old. It was good.
Boy, she's starting out young.
Her sister Emily didn't have a chance to get a word in edgewise, so I thought Emily just didn't talk, you know. Yeah. But it was a week of Hazel was the youngest on board, but I had a number of teens that come with their granddad or their dad or whatever. So it was a fun week that the fish bit and the weather cooperated and. You know, just the way it should be in summer with fishing and family and stuff like that.
I got you. Well, cool. All right, Royce. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come up and get in on the action, give them some info how they can reach you, my friend.
I tell you what, our calendar is just now about to start to open up. We got weekdays at least in July now, and still got at least a Saturday or two in August, but a little ways out. But we got some openings now, 903-389-4117, or they can get the details on the web at gonefishing.biz. And can't tell you how much I appreciate the time.
Hey, always a pleasure, Royce. You have a happy 4th of July weekend. Be safe out there,
you too,
my friend. All right, buddy.
Going to.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Now. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next week, Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.